Our church is in transition. God's doing something. When I was down in Southern California, then I was there, and I wasn't thinking about Hortense's testimony, but I was thinking about our church. Let me tell you what God told me about our church. Same thing that he did with Hortense, he's going to do with us. I've heard for the last 2 years that we're getting to be an older church. And, you know, that kind of thinking kind of takes over and you begin to feel like, well, we're kind of done. And listen, God's not done. He's not done with North County Christian Fellowship. He's not done with you. When you look in the mirror, you think, okay, we need, you know, younger people in our lives. And you know, I'm about to retire and all of that kind of stuff. But listen here. I attended disaster relief training. It's not just the Southern Baptist Church that I'm talking about, the California denomination, the Southern Baptist Churches, but they have an incredibly developed program. And these people, at the drop of a hat, the trained people from in the disaster relief program will receive a phone call, and they'll show up as a team, like an army of people, like what we saw at the fairgrounds during the... They do that. Normally, they work alongside with Red Cross and also the Salvation Army. But they have their specialty is just doing a variety of things in terms of cleanup and providing food. They got a phone call. They were telling me that they got a phone call to go to during the Hurricane Katrina and that whole thing. They went down there. They were on a drop of a hat. They had to provide food for 10,000 people. I thought, Gary, you would be really excited about, you know, participating in something like that. Saying, what would it be like to have equipment that you could just take, you know, in a trailer, you go down there, you set up a kitchen, and all of a sudden you got this mass feeding project that's going on. I mean, it's an incredible thing to see the way that these people work. And I looked around at the people that were in this room with me, and I watched some of the videos that they were doing. In Oklahoma, a couple of years ago, there was a tornado that went through. They happened to be having a team meeting team training. And after that tornado came, these people came up out of the basement and went out, and they were like the first responders along with the police. And they were helping people. They were going through the debris, it was just an incredible thing to see these people. And I looked at them and I thought, they are ordinary people. People just like you, what I'm standing here and looking at in this room, many of them are retired, but they haven't quit. It's not like retirement meant for them, okay, now I've done my part, turn it over to somebody else. It's like they have a heart to serve God. And they're willing to put themselves in a place where they can be trained to do these kind of things. I'm looking around this chaplain's training. I guess I'm one of them now, one of those older people, you know. Gary is too now that he's 60.
Yes, I am. Join the club.
But I looked around this room and I think, what are these people volunteering for? What are these people stepping into? And I think about myself, well, my life, you know, could be winding down right now, and I'm stepping into new areas that are going to be challenging. Instead of running away from emergencies, I'm running to emergencies and the variety of things that God has opened up for me to step towards. Who in the world wants to do stuff like that except servants of Jesus Christ? And I'm looking at a room full of people that are no different than anybody I saw involved in that program. Ordinary people. And I don't mean you're ordinary, because some of you are pretty extra special. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that we have the tendency to think, well, those people that do things like that, they're really special. They're really unique. You know, they really have a lot of gifts.
They don't. They're just people that are willing to step out. People that somehow have caught the idea that God calls them to do those kinds of things. And they go, I'm here, Lord. Like Isaiah, send me, right? Orlando? Lord, I'm here. Send me. Would you all say that to God? Are you willing to say that to Him? Here I am, Lord. Say that. Send me. And so would we step into those kind of places? This was a fire. This is a fire thing. And then what they're doing, they do debris cleanup after the fires. And then they help set the property back in shape for the people. And it's just an incredible thing to go there and just see people that do this kind of stuff. And they're just ordinary people. And they're organized. I mean, the guy up there, you can't see it, the blue hat. They have blue hats and yellow hats and then white hats, just like the fire department does and when they do that. And they've organized after that kind of manner, so they're kind of like an army. And the blue hat gives the orders, and the yellow hats all go do it. They got chaplains, and they got workers and feeders and all that kind of stuff, shelter people, all that kind of stuff goes on. And they just call them out, and they send them out. And what an incredible thing to be part of. Well, now that Maria and Orlando and myself are now part of that, we're going to have opportunities to kind of step into those areas ourselves. So I just want to let you guys know that, I mean, we're not Southern Baptists, but they've opened the door for us. Just like First Baptist Church and just like Band of Brothers and all this stuff that's just opened up for us that we have. We're not done. We're not done. Moses was 80 years old on the backside of the wilderness. You remember that? Taking care of sheep. He thought he was done. The last thing in the world that he thought was that God was going to use him to rescue his people. I mean, 40 years is a long time to cool your jets on the backside of a wilderness, you know, and kind of think, you know, I've got kids, I got a family, I've got sheep here, I'm done. And then all of a sudden, the burning bush. Started this service by reminding you of the name of a book that C.S. Lewis wrote about his encounter with his wife. C.S. Lewis was a confirmed bachelor. I mean, really. And then all of a sudden, a woman by the name of Joy came into his life. And he wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. That title in itself is enough to just talk about, you know, our walk with God. Moses was surprised. He saw a burning bush, right? What the heck is that bush doing burning? But it doesn't seem to get any worse, or doesn't seem to get any, you know, any less. And so he goes up to that bush, and all of a sudden, here's God. All of a sudden, God's there. Hey, Moses, my hand's on you. I'm calling you. If you study church history, that's the way church history unfolded, just like that. It wasn't the people that you expected. In fact, it was the people that you didn't expect. And when God showed up, He surprised them and did incredible things through them. Isn't that how you want to go out of this life anyway? I want to go out knowing that I did my part. And the world around my life was somehow a little bit different just because of the presence of God in my life that flowed out. That's how I want to go out. I want to go out that way. So I've got three passages of scriptures I'd like to share with you today. The first one is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. I think this is the path for us to help us kind of keep our eyes on the right thing. And when we keep our eyes on the right thing and we abide in Jesus, just abide in Jesus, that's all. We keep our eyes on Him. We say, Lord, here I am. I'm willing to walk. I'm going to walk with You. I want to know You. I want to be Your man. I want to be Your woman. That's all we got to do. The rest of it just unfolds for us. We don't have to make it happen. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain, right? Unless the Lord watches over the city, Those who are watching can't fix it. But if our eyes are on Jesus and we've set our hearts, I want to pursue you, I want to know you, I want to walk with you, out of our lives will flow incredible things. So we keep our eyes fixed on the right thing. Here it is, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. This follows after the chapters we've been studying. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ. How many of you have been raised to a new life with Christ and you know it? Look around this room. The potential that's in this room is incredible. You have been raised, Paul, to a new life. Christ lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. So, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand in the place of the honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. Now, what is that passage of Scripture telling us? Is it be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good? No. What it's saying is that we fix our sights on like the things of this world are not the things that are our rewards. They're not the things that we live for. What we live for is we live for kingdom realities. You get it? It's not like we've got our house, our eyes are set on a big house, you know, on a big piece of land and the mortgage is all paid off and everything is good. And man, we got a big bank account and we are set for the rest of our life. And this is what life is about for us. I mean, I'm going to kick back and play golf whenever I want. I can bowl whenever I want. I can do whatever I want to do. I've got my eyes set there and that's my dream. You got the wrong dream. But if your dream is that, Jesus, you are what my goal in life is all about. My eyes are set on you. And I hope I go out serving you in some capacity, some way, wherever you have for me, that's where I want to be. It doesn't mean that you can't retire. It doesn't mean that you can't have those things. But it means you know that your life is not about those things. Your life is about Jesus. And the reality is that the world around you will not support that. The world around you will treat you. You'll feel the pressure. Every day you'll feel the pressure of doing something different. And the less Christians there are around us, the more you're going to feel that pressure to live for something else. But listen, there is no other life. Life with a capital L. Than life in Christ. And life with our eyes fixed upon the realities of heaven and the realities of walking with Him. Jesus modeled that for us. He taught His disciples that. And we're just going to grab as many people as we can and say, come on and join me. And there are going to be times, I think I'm going to do a study on Psalm 73 with you on some Sunday when I have the time to do that, because that just shows you the pattern of somebody who is trying to live for God, but they're looking around and they're being tempted to say things like, they don't worry about the things I worry about. I mean, you know, they don't worry about going to church and they don't worry about doing things right and being moral and they seem to be getting along just fine. What am I doing all this for? And all of a sudden the psalmist wakes up and he goes, oh, I get it, God. Set my eyes on you. And this one kind of goes along with it. Matthew 6:20. Read this with me. Store your treasures in heaven where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty and where they will be safe from thieves. It says the same thing, just in different words. Just in different words. Store your treasures in heaven. Now, I know that you guys understand that. But it's nice once in a while to revisit just a simple passage of Scripture to remind us again. What is my life about? It's about storing treasures in heaven. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, you know, it's like when we try to put this into words, especially when American Christians try to put this into words, I've got a big, you know, a big house that I'm building a mansion in heaven right now by doing the things that I'm doing here. I don't think that's really what it means. But I do think it says the same thing at the previous passage of Scripture. It says our eyes are not set about life in this world. Our eyes are set about doing God's will and God's work and living in His kingdom. And we know that that's really where our treasure lies. And so the third passage of Scripture comes from this, which really deals with our identity. We have this light, this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. Fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Honestly, sitting there and rehearing things that I heard in seminary, things that I've heard over, you know, how to counsel with people in grief, how to be with people with grief, how to be present with them. You know, and I started listening to all this stuff again that I've heard before. It wasn't like new to me, but it's part of the stuff that you don't do all the time. And when you don't do it all the time, you kind of slip into old ways, and you need to come back and be reminded again. You be reminded again, shut your mouth and just be present with people, you know. You know, and that you don't have to preach to people when they're in that kind of place. Just be with them and be Jesus for them. I mean, you know, just the kinds of things that we should know, but we feel all this pressure to be or do something else, to do something and to fix things rather than just trusting God inside of us to do His mighty work. The thing I was reminded when I was looking out there and I was seeing kind of these some of these older people that are like, they're so excited about being in the middle of a disaster with other people and helping them through that disaster, is that I'm looking at these people that have nothing really special about them. They're just clay jars. I feel like that about myself. Clay jars. But inside that clay jar is a treasure. And that treasure, you are filled with Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is in you, there is no problem, there is no situation, there is no town, there is no city. I don't know how things are going to turn out with the election this year. It doesn't really matter because Jesus Christ is in us. Do you know that? And no matter what happens, no matter what happens, that's not going to change. No matter what happens, guess who's going to still be on the throne? You don't want this country to get better without Christ. Let me say that again. You don't want this country to get better without Christ. We got a whole generation of people that are sliding to hell on their butts. Old Pentecostal woman told me that one time. You know, they're sliding to hell on their butts. Yeah, but. You believe in Jesus? Yeah, but. Want to give your life to Christ? Yeah, but. You know, they're sliding to hell on their butt. We've got a whole generation of people that are sliding to hell. And the more comfortable they are, the faster they slide. But when things start getting stirred up, and they're not comfortable, guess what happens to people? They start turning and asking questions. What is life about? We're going to work like we can to make life better for people. But the reality is, we don't want people just being happy and comfortable and having a good time. We want people to find life. And that's where our hearts have to be. So no matter what happens, do the best you can to be a great citizen. Make the best choices that you can. But no matter what happens, we've no reason to be downcast. Our reasons we've got Christ inside of us and He's still on the throne. Let's go for it. Our journey is going to be the same. To shine Christ into every situation, into every person's life, and put our arms around them and take a few with us. George, Don McGeorge, you're not done yet. Yeah, praise the Lord. You're not done yet. You know? West Dawes, you're not done yet. Taylor, Craig, you're not done. Old Fred Watkins. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. You know, Jim Walters, and that woman that's sitting next there, Mary, you guys aren't done. God's got something. God's got something. And Max back there, you're just getting started, man. But you're just getting started. And that guy sitting next to you, you know, that Kim Noyes, you know, Kim? What if God did something through your life, Kim, that shined brighter than your grandfather's life ever shined? Listen, that's the mentality that we got to have. You guys are these incredibly fragile clay pots, I know. But inside of those pots is a light. Two images that have been so powerful to me, or one was the man who shared with me that came and spoke, that's coming to speak next week, Tim Gidley. And he said to me, I think it was Sunday afternoon, just before Sunday evening, when he heard my life, and he says, Kintsugi, remember that? Kintsugi, said that Japanese pottery that's been glued together. It's broken, and then it's glued together with gold. And it's more valuable after it's cracked and then glued back together with gold than it was before it ever was broken. I love that image. And I also love this one. Because if you notice that pot, it's all cracked, right? But what happens? The light inside can shine from those cracks. The world around it. You may think, oh, God can't use me because I'm kind of broken. I've been hurt. Whatever it is. But outside of each one of those wounds, the light of Christ can shine. And the world can see that. Here I am, God. Send me. That should be our prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I'm so touched. I'm touched today because just seeing Hortense here and watching her walk up the aisle the way she walked up. And Lord, she's a sign to us. She's a metaphor to this church and to the people in this church. Our God is big. He can do anything. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what's big in your life. This looks like an obstacle for you. You don't know how you're going to overcome it or how it's going to be overcome. But, you know, right now, if there's something in your life that seems so big, you just don't know how God's going to do it. But you want to give it to God, though, today. You want the same God that touched Hortense Mendoza to touch that situation. Would you stand as a symbol? You know, God, I'm offering it to you right now. Whatever that problem might be, I just offer it to you. I don't know what in the world can be done. Now, the big God. He's a big God.
Now just, if you just, God can hear your whispers, you know. What I want you to do is I want you to just whisper to God right now what you're giving to Him. I give you. Tell him what you're giving to Him right now. And if you are sitting around somebody that's standing, you just extend your hands towards them and then pray with me. Lord, I'm the same guy that walked in Hortense Mendoza's hospital room. I'm not claiming that she's here today because of my prayer there. But Lord, I know that You are the God who worked in Hortense Mendoza. I know that this woman was at death's door. And You grabbed her and You turned things around. You used medical stuff, yes, but You also used just the sheer power of Your Spirit within her that rose up to stand. God, You worked in a variety of ways in her, but it was Your hand all along. And right now I'm praying. The same guy that stood in her room is praying now for these people here. And I don't have any more faith today than I had at that moment. Because all of this is way bigger than me. But it's not bigger than You. And so I pray, dear God, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, that You will hear every prayer that's been offered here, that's offered by these people standing and that was whispered before You. But hearing their prayer and answering their prayer is what we're asking. Send the answers. And let peace flow in this room right now. The peace that comes from knowing God has heard my prayer. You have bent down and listened to the cries of Your people, as it says in the Psalms. And we say with the psalmist, I love the Lord because He has heard my prayer. And if God hears your prayer, you know that the answers are coming. And then, Lord, we do what the Apostle Paul told us to do right now. We thank You. We thank You for hearing our prayers. We thank You for the answers on its way. It might even have been answered at the very moment that we offered it to You. We are already thanking You. We are thanking You for hearing us and being our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great